who are like one of the best paintball players in the UK. That guy is insane. Like, he can just walk. They don't even turn up to like training sessions or anything like that to look at the new layout.
2, 1. What is going on? And welcome to the Speedsoft Lounge podcast. I'm your host, Callum, and in today's podcast, we're going to be talking with Speed Cartel Zach. So we've got Zach on the line. First of all, Zach, how you doing, man?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. First of all, appreciate you being on the podcast. You know, the first podcast. With this podcast, I hope we can get as many guests on, talk about all things airsoft, you know, interview businesses, all that kind of good stuff. So really appreciate you being on. Yeah. The viewers that don't know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name's Zach. I play for Speed Cartel, as you said. Been playing Speed Cartel for about 8-9 months. My first ever tournament was the Bunker Freeman.
Yes, I remember that one. Good tournament. So, first of all, what got you into airsoft as a whole?
Airsoft as a whole, it's something I've watched all my life, really, growing up, just watching airsoft videos on YouTube.
You've been watching that kicking Mustang, haven't you? Getting them headshots.
I basically got a job. I got quite a big bonus. So I thought, screw it, I'll go airsoft and try it out. Rental for the first time. And then my second day, I went fully kitted out with my own gear and my own gun.
Hey, check you out. What was your first gun that you brought? Can you remember?
TM416 NGRS.
Yeah, decent. I remember mine. Mine was like a CM16. And the barrel length was absolutely massive compared to what I've got now. I mean, I've got an ATAC upper now, and the barrel length is completely different.
There's a lot of different.
So when you first got into airsoft, what was it? Was it like speedsoft straight away, or was it like general skirmishes?
It were general skirmishes, milsims. I've been to like one or two milsims. It was basically just playing mainly No Man's Land and somewhere called Fearmasters Airsoft in Wakefield.
Yeah, it's great. No Man's Land, I've heard of that one. I think I've had a few friends that have been to that, and they've said good things about it. What would you say, like, how different would you say it is from, like, you know, your general skirmishes to obviously what we both know and play, speed soft?
It's a lot different, really. Completely different ballgame. You've only got 5 people on your team.
Yeah.
You've got to communicate. Don't communicate. There's no point being more point on being on the field if your team doesn't communicate. It's a completely different ball game, really. It's just more skilled.
Absolutely.
Don't know what you're doing. Do something stupid, then you're going to mess it up with the rest of your team. Whereas a mill team, you can just get shot, go back to spawn, come straight back in.
Yeah, definitely. It's a completely different ball game, isn't it, really? So obviously, you're in a team, Speed Cartel. How did that go by? Like, how did you get into Speed Cartel?
It's a weird one, really. So the first ever comp I ever went and watched was the first ever D23 comp at the 5-man in February.
Oh, God, memories. I think I actually remember that one. You went with Flashbang Airsoft, didn't you? Yeah. Great tournament. But yeah, no, sorry, carry on.
I just went as a cameraman for Flashbang. Took some photos throughout the days up in the spectating area. And I was just watching it, really, enjoying it. And I was like, yes, I could do this. I could get into this.
Hooked
straight away. And then how I got into Speed Cartel, it's a bit of a weird one, really. I was going through TikTok. And I don't know if you remember the game from Xbox 360, Castle Miner Z.
Yeah, I've actually heard of that. Yeah.
I commented on it, saying, I wish I could still play this now. And then someone called Harry, old member of Speed Cartel, he commented saying, oh, you can play it on stream on Steam. So I'm like, alright, that's nice. And then after that, we just got talking, like, all right, he asked. So obviously he saw that I went with Flashbang, took some videos and stuff, and made a TikTok about them. And he basically asked if I were in a team, and I says no. We got talking from there, and then a few days later, Kian rang me, captain of Speed Cartel, and he says, right, well, we've got a training session end of month, if you want to come, and we'll go from there.
Beautiful.
Clearly did good enough.
Beautiful. And let's just see the jersey. Just a little stand up there. Let's see the Speed Cartel jersey. Woof! It is a nice jersey, I've got to admit. One of the top ones, in my opinion. Speaking of,
yeah, I think it's the nicest.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of, you've just obviously shown on Instagram another jersey that you're bringing out. Is that correct? Is that for the new season?
Yeah, new season. For next year, for some things Luke's got in talks. Might talk about it later. But it's not basically the same jersey, exactly the same pattern, everything like that. But where it's black here, it's going to be Nardo grey, like you see on RS4 hours and stuff like that. In my opinion, it looks better. Some people don't think it does.
For those that are watching on YouTube and TikTok, I'll have a picture on screen of the jersey now. But yeah, honestly, I've seen the jersey and I'm a big fan. I don't know if it's because it's grey, but I'm a big fan of the jersey. It's really nice.
Yeah, it is a really nice jersey.
One thing I forgot to ask, your team number and your nickname. So you go by the nickname of Bald Eagle, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how did that come about, getting the Bald Eagle nickname?
Basically Hicks, captain of Flashbang. My second tournament was at SWAT in Liverpool. Flashbang knew I was going to be versus them because I just guested for Team SWAT. So there's... Because I have a bit of a bad hairline.
you got that hairline of the 50s.
Yeah. Luke came up with a call out for me, basically. Said, if we ever see Zach, we'll just scream Bald Eagle.
Beautiful. So, just like that.
Yeah. And it just stuck. So I got it printed on back of my jersey. I don't know if you can see it. Bald Eagle on back.
There it is, Bald Eagle.
So yeah, that one's down to Hicks, to be honest.
Beautiful. So let's talk a bit about Speed Cartel. What's the team dynamic like, and like what guys do you typically do? Do you do a lot of training? And what kind of stuff do you do?
Yeah, we basically train every weekend now Speed Arena's opened. Quicker for us. D23 mostly. Go to Speed Arena. We've been going Speed Arena the past couple of weekends, to be fair. We normally go on a Sunday and a Wednesday. So the training is quite often. I'm going to put this work in for what Luke's got in books for District 23 next year.
Yes, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Got a lot of things to talk about that. It's good stuff on the horizon. Speed Arena. I've not been personally. I've seen a lot about it. It's getting turfed as well soon, so that's always good. Obviously, you got Bunker that's now been turfed, which... It's an absolute game changer, isn't it, with turf?
Yeah, it is. I don't want to play on concrete after playing on turf.
Yeah, tell me about it. All them hard knee pads, get rid of them.
Don't need them pillars anymore.
Exactly. So walk me through like a typical comp weekend with Speed Cartel. How does it work? Do you guys travel down like beforehand? You get like a B&B hotel? What do you do?
Yeah, so I don't know. Normally... We have a few group calls through the week before the comp, going over, making sure everyone's learning out the call outs that we come up with. Relay on where everyone's playing, stuff like that. So everyone knows what they're doing, stuff like that. And on game day, we can just turn up, go on the field. Everyone knows where everyone is, stuff like that. We head up the day before because we tend to book in a training session. So
Luke does obviously the training sessions now, done before the day before comp. Yeah. So obviously, they're useful.
Yeah. Yeah, so then we normally go up, get a hotel, Airbnb. We all stop there as a team. Then we all show up on comp day.
And show up and perform. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. A few bevvies on the night before, or do you keep it strict?
No. Two lightweights in my team, so it's not a good idea.
Oh, there we are, calling out the lightweights. what's been like your most memorable moment with the team so far? Obviously, you've been there for a little bit now. What's the most memorable moment you have?
Probably the Bunker, to be fair. My first time going there, I only played two rounds. It wasn't a lot, but my first comp.
First comp, yes.
Yeah, we showed up. We got second place, really.
Yeah.
So we went from last place to the first comp. At D23 in February to second place at Bunker Freeman.
Yeah, I remember the first comp to Fear. Honestly, it was good watching you to Fear going down that snake side. you were using Kappa back then, weren't you?
Yeah, rifle player now.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. What typically do you use now? So you rifle player. What you got? You got art platform. You got GNG, you know, 556?
Yeah, just a standard ARP body, but I've put 556 lower on it, so I can use M4 mags. Got an F2 inside.
Yes, F2. Pulsar,
air trigger board, FCU standard. I'm just purchasing an ESGR. The new ones that have come out, I cap up with the regs built in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen them with the regs built in already. Yes, nice.
Yeah, yeah. But then for next year, I think for the comps next year, whenever the first one will be, I will have my own custom design SKP.
Oof.
Hopefully.
I've seen a lot of the SKPs, and they are really nice guns.
Yeah, yeah.
So you mentioned, obviously, you play rifle and that. Where do you typically play on the position on the field? Are you like more of a you know, snake side, or your Dorito side, home player? What kind of typical role do you play?
I'm open, really.
Yeah?
I adapt to all bunkers, personally. Like, I can play good in snake, play good on Doritos, I can play good on apples and stuff like that, orange. Home, not my strongest point, but I can do it.
Yeah, it's important. It's really important that that back player, isn't it? Yeah. You know, obviously they're going to be, you know, doing a lot of the comms, all that kind of stuff. So obviously they have to be a very vocal player, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so really, I tend to play up front, really. But when my team needs to be, I can be a back player. Relay them comms, let them know what's going on the field.
Yeah, it's good that you can play all roles on the field. It's like what Luke Curtin said, you know, the owner of Bunker. Everybody should be able to play every position on the field. Obviously, you'll home in on your certain position, but everybody should be able to play every bunker pretty much.
You'll always play the strongest on the bunker you feel most comfortable on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So for those that might not know about the competitive scene, we'll say, can you explain a little bit about some of the tournament rules and the, you know, the basics, really? And the format, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, on a comp, you show up, read the rule book. The rule book comes out week before the comp, is it?
Yeah, I think it's something like that. About a week before, 2 weeks before.
Yeah, so you show up, read the rule book. If you don't read the rule book, and you do something stupid and get your teams qualified, it's your own fault, really. It's quite strict. The marshals don't mess about. If you don't call your hits, you're getting dragged off the field either way.
I was going to say, that's one of the big issues, isn't it, with airsoft, obviously, hit calling. You know, it's a game of honesty, isn't it? And obviously, in a competitive scene, it can be, you know, if the refs aren't on board, then it can be a bit iffy. But yeah, like you say, I've played in the comps myself. The refs, super on it. You know, they've got at least near enough a ref to every player, near enough. It's close.
They've got about 8 to 10 refs on field at D23.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's enough to go around, really. So basic comp, 5 players. If you get shot and you don't feel it, hits your belt or something, it's going to be quite hard to feel. The refs will grab you. Obviously, it's non-intentional hit take. The refs will grab you and say, yeah, you got it. Walk off the field as fast as you can. If you delay walking off the field, you will get points for it because it can be seen as
slow walk.
Distraction.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, if you don't call it, say if you get shot in, I don't know, your fingers, you're very clearly going to feel it.
One of the worst places in my eyes. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So what do you think too, obviously, the current structure of tournaments? Like the UK, it's a little bit different to what you see overseas, obviously. You've got NSL, the big game, where obviously they've got like the flag and they've got, you know, zone 1, 2, 3 and all that kind of stuff. Obviously it's a little bit different in the UK. We still kind of do the you know, the flag stuff, but what do you think? Do you think it works better, or would you like to see some, you know, actual NSL over in the UK?
I like the way the comps go, to be honest. I really do like it. NSL, it is very strict. It takes some English teams getting used to, because obviously they're not used to their rules. It's very strict rules.
Yeah, that's a good point what you mentioned there. Like a lot of the stuff that we do in the UK is very, it's beginner friendly. Like it's really easy to get the gist of, into, would you say? Yeah, absolutely.
So, I'd like to see it come over, but for what's planned next year, I think it will grow a lot more, and we will start getting teams, European teams, to come over and play at District 23 for what's planned for next year.
was gonna say there's a lot on the pipeline, isn't there, coming up?
Yeah,
with
there's a lot coming up.
The 2025 season for the UK is definitely going to be the one. Do you reckon we'll see some, you know, European teams in the 25 season?
Yeah, I reckon we will. I reckon there'll be a few that'll come over.
I hope so.
Hopefully. It'll make it a lot more interesting versus new teams that you've never versed before.
Absolutely.
Where Speed Cartel maybe, might be, we're going to NSL next year.
We haven't decided yet. Very nice.
I think we are going to FCC in France.
Okay.
I think we're going to that. Maybe going to Speed QB in America.
That's a good one. I've seen a lot of that, you know.
Yeah.
Bloodthirsty, doing them clips. Oh, God, it looks insane out there, I won't lie.
It does look interesting. Completely different to a standard comp. Way different.
Running the
bunkers, jumping over bunkers. It's crazy, really. I'd like to see... To be fair, I really like how our comps run. I can't fault them. Luke Curtin does a smashing job at running a comp. I can't fault anything he does.
Absolutely, I agree with that. Shout out to the guys over at the Bunker team. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the Bunker team are unreal. They're all fair. If you've got any problems, you go up, talk to them. They'll tell you why they did it, and etc. Honestly, it's probably the fairest team you'll meet in the UK.
Absolutely, I agree. Obviously, with the Bunker team, they do things a little bit different as well with the layout. So obviously, they change the layout every time. It's usually a different layout compared to, you know, NSL. Yeah. It's the same layout throughout the whole season. What do you reckon to that? Do you prefer like having a different layout every time, or would you prefer to have the same layout throughout the whole season?
I prefer having a different layout personally, because I'm not a big fan of the NSL layout. I just don't like how it's laid out and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's
a good layout, but I'd much rather play on different layouts, because eventually it's going to get boring of turning up, playing on the same layout constantly. So you turn up, you have your training session the day before, so you can learn all the angles, all the lanes, all the blind spots. So a new comp, it actually does bring some competitive side to it, having a new layout every time. Whereas, say, if I just turn up to NSL every weekend or every month, I know all lanes, I know all blind spots, everything like that.
Yeah.
Whereas having a new layout every time, it's a lot better, it's a lot harder, and it makes it play a lot better, in my opinion.
Yeah. I remember the last five-man at the Bunker. I really love that layout. I mean, I've said it to you before, layout was so nice. The snake was nice.
Yeah.
You could get in the blind spots pretty quick, and it was great, to be fair. So obviously Luke's mentioned a completely new bunker, like he's going to be bringing into the comp. What do you think to that? What do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. It's a tough one, really. I've been speaking to about my team, and we've also been sat there going, I have a clue what it could be. Maybe it could be like, I don't know, a back snake wall instead of the V-shaped ones they have.
Yeah.
It could actually be a wall, or like a big D-side pillar at the back of Snake, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I'm sure it will come out soon enough. So going back a little bit, you mentioned about the current NSL layout. What don't you like about the layout? I've seen a lot of obviously you might have seen the McSwain clips. Obviously, he's expressed how he feels about the current NSL layout, and obviously the back bunkers, how you can't actually like get into it and all that kind of stuff. What do you think?
Yeah. I think it's more of the... I don't really mind the snake. The snake's quite easy to manoeuvre around. It's more of the home and the back snake.
Yeah.
So I feel like once you get pinned in that back snake, it's really hard to get out of.
Yeah, absolutely. Like
really hard to get out of. And the home, I don't know, I just feel like it could be more personal to block.
Yeah, some kind of like straight that you can actually get up into cover. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Similar to what McSwain said, like having both pieces, if it was just the one piece, it'd probably work so much better, and you'd be able to actually get into the cover.
Yeah.
Throw one out there. Any comp nerves on comp day? Do you get nervous at all, or?
I get nervous, yeah, I'm not going to lie. Everyone, well, I won't say everyone, but a lot of people will get nervous. The only nerve-wracking part for me is my first game.
Yeah,
I mean, and then once I've got, once my first get, once my first round's over and done with, I'm fine. All nerves are gone.
Yeah, I agree. Once you've got the first, it's the first one, the ones that is the worst. And then once you get that over, I feel like you're cruising really at that point.
Yeah, they're just scared of early breakout on your first round. It's not looking good, is it?
It's not. Especially, obviously, the bunker team, they do it differently, don't they? So, obviously, you got the paintball where it counts down 10 seconds, well, 30 seconds, 20 seconds, and then 10 seconds, doesn't it?
Paintball timer.
Obviously, a lot of it's like in NSL, like feet, weapons, go. So, it's different. You know, if you're on that back wall and you're not counting their beeps, and you can really go out early there.
It's quite confusing. If you don't count or lose count, you are doing a late break or an early break.
Yeah.
One or the other.
I remember when he announced that he was going to be doing the paintball style breakout, and I was like, oh God, I need to make sure I'm counting these beeps, otherwise I'm going out early or late, either one. So obviously,
just count it and you'll be found.
Yeah. So obviously being fast in speed stuff is kind of an obvious one, but what would you say is needed as well, along being fast?
The most important on a speed soft field is comms. If your team does not communicate, there's no point in turning up to a comp because you'll just get demolished.
Yeah, agree.
If your snake player gets took out and there's a player at snake 50 and your team's not communicating, that's a player at snake 50, that one player at snake 50 can take out your whole team.
Yeah, it's a big player.
If you get
to
your snake and you don't know about it, you're all dead.
Absolutely, yes. It kind of ties in with
the double imprint.
Yeah, it kind of ties in with what you've just said. What do you think makes a team successful?
Communication.
Yeah.
Knowing how your teammates play.
Yeah, it's a
that
big
is the best thing. So one of my teammates, when he moves up, I know he expects me to move up with him.
Mm-hmm.
Or when I bunker up, say if I bunker up, Kian behind me. So if I'm playing Apple in the middle, and Kian's on Orange, or whatever teams call it, as soon as he sees me, so if I go to Orange first, he'll play Hub. Soon as he sees me bunker up to Apple, he will move to Orange. If I get a shot off at Apple, he will move.
Yeah.
So knowing how your teammates play is the best thing ever, and knowing where your teammates are.
Absolutely, yeah. Agree. So other than, obviously, we spoke a little bit about your gun that you use. What other gear do you use, obviously? Do you run, like, a belt and that kind of stuff? Like, what belt do you run on that?
Yeah. I run a Cubasoft belt with 5 M4 mag inserts. Used to run a 13 CI tank, but I don't play Capra anymore, so I got rid of that. I wear HK Army trousers. Comfy. They do the job. Obviously, Vatios jerseys. Probably the best jerseys you can get, Vatios. Not going
to
lie.
Shards, man. To be fair, let's touch on that, actually. I've seen he's released a lot of jersey designs for a couple of teams. Some in the UK, some elsewhere. Obviously, honestly, man, some of his jerseys, they're really nice. Did you see is it MCR Swarm? Did you see their jersey, the green one? I'll leave a picture
jersey
on screen for those that are watching. But it was a really nice jersey.
So, they're expensive, but they're worth the money.
Absolutely.
The quality and everything, it's just unreal. The quality of them, the comfy. You don't get irritated.
I agree,
it's really nice, thick material.
So, obviously you've spoken about your gear. Would you say having, like, really, you know, expensive gear and all that kind of stuff is, like, one of the keys to speed soft as well? Or would you say, you know, an entry-level HPA rifle can compete as well? Or what would you say?
In terms of trousers, your belt and stuff, and your mask, as long as your mask doesn't shatter when you get shot, is open, you've got plenty of vent holes on it, on your ears and your mouth, your sound. So basically, die I4s, I seen they're a bit tight, they've got no vents on.
Yeah, they're quite small, the dies as well, I think. They're quite low profile, really small. That's actually one of the first masks that I started out with, was a die I5. But yeah, I see a lot of people obviously running them, the dies.
Yeah, whereas your gun, I don't know what do you mean by an entry level
Like, I mean, rifle. I remember one of my, like, I'm talking years ago now, and one of my first ever comps, I was running, you know, a standard, I've got a jack, I've got the line coming out, I've got the HPA bag. So, like, would you say that is still able to compete with the levels that we're at now, or would you say you're probably going to want to upgrade?
Yeah, a jack can, you can compete with a jack. I did training with your team, SLT, and I just had a carbon air tack build that had a jack in it. It was keeping up with everyone else's. Obviously, it's not as good as an F2, but it does the job. You can turn up and you can shoot. Like, you could turn up with a Wolverine Inferno Gen 2 engine and you could win.
Yeah.
It's not really, it's not more or less your gun that you're using. It's the person that's shooting it. If you can hit a shot, you're going to hit a shot with no matter what gun you're using, as long as it shoots straight.
You kind of answered the question here, but I was going to say, does obviously gear make a big difference in performance?
No.
No? Okay.
No. Like, you can go out and buy a pair of 300-pound trousers, 200-pound belt.
But at the end of the day,
30-pound trousers, 20-pound belt, it's going to do exactly the same job. Like, you could wear a built-in belt on a speed soft field.
Yeah.
Hold your mags, that's
what I can say, what is it? Hicks from Flash Mace, he's got the old military belt, whatever you call them, yeah. Hasn't he? And obviously, he does well.
He's got a Deadly Customs belt and Kydex M4 inserts.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't need none of this fancy HK Army belts or the Cubisoft belts. I wear Cubisoft belts because they're really comfy and light. And the old mags sturdy. It's probably all you need, really.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And touching on Hicks, obviously he uses as well. He uses a gas blowback shotgun or something like that?
Yeah,
in one of the
Sega
comps.
Sega SBS.
Obviously, on NSL and that, you see everybody with the HPA ESGs and that. Obviously, Hicks is running around with the gas thing, and he's just doing just as good, isn't he, really?
Yeah, exactly. It came, I think Flashbang came first or second at one at Bunker Comps. And Hicks were using a full size Sega 12.
Ah, that's brilliant. That.
Yeah. So you don't need all this fancy, rapid, 30 rounds per second gun.
Yeah. And
if you can hit a shot, you can hit a shot with a Springer or a F2 build.
Yeah. What do you think to get more people involved in speed? So obviously, you came from somewhat of the skirmish airsoft side. Like, what do you think it's going to take for more people to obviously try Speedsoft, or what do you think is preventing them?
I don't know. The Speedsoft scene, I don't know. It's like, if Speedsoft comes to a mill sim, everyone looks at them and goes, Speedsofter, I can't wait to get overshot and someone cheat all day. But that's not what a Speedsofter is. A Speedsofter is just a fast-paced player that will push into a building while you're all stacking up on a door, wasting your time.
Yeah.
Maybe could be less toxic, because there's a lot of teams that are toxic.
I say the WhatsApp group chats are always popping off somehow.
The speed of chats on WhatsApp, and it's like World War III in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you touched up on that. Obviously, saying like, obviously, Milsim see us speedsofters in a different way, don't they? And
yeah.
I don't know about you, but I feel like that's kind of a misinformation, because I feel like actually the majority of competitive speedsoft players are actually nice people. Like, they'll help people out. They're not really, you know, they don't go to a skirmish and think, oh, I'm gonna be an absolute ass and just start not taking hits. But I feel like they actually, you know, you get to play with one and they actually turn out, you know, quite nice. I think it was Luke that told me a story about, obviously, when he went to like a general skirmish, and he heard one of the milsimers go, oh god, another speedsofter. And I think Luke said he went up to him and said, like, look mate, you haven't played with me yet, get to play with me and you know, see how it is. And he was saying he played with them and they actually really enjoyed it, and it was a really good day. Like, I feel like we get a lot of hate, but some of us are actually, you know, the competitive players are actually quite nice.
Yeah, exactly. Instance Keanu, he can be a bit of a big ego boost. It can be a bit cocky at times, but if you go up to him and ask him for help, it will help you.
Yeah.
I went to one of his clinics on that day.
I say, yeah, he's just done, obviously, the clinic with McSwain. How was that? How did that go?
It was good. It was hard work.
I can imagine they put you to your pieces.
Yeah, it wasn't very nice. Put it this way, you had to do a snapshot, and if you miss your snapshot after one shot, you'd have to do 10 squats until you hit it.
Legs definitely be hurting the next day then.
A lot of people look at him and go, oh yeah, he looks like a dick, I'm not talking to him, blah, blah, blah. But if you actually go up to him and talk to him and ask him for help, they will help you.
Yeah, I agree. I've suspected Keanu before. He's helped me, gave me pointers as well. So yeah, he may seem like, you know, a bit of the jokey type in the DMs and that, but he is a really nice guy. And I'm sure he's going to go far. Obviously, he's just played for Team GB. Did you manage to watch any of the games?
Yeah, really good. Amazing performance. Maybe they won it if Keanu's M4 adapter.
Yeah, sorry. It went down in one of the games into it, and it was an important game, put it that way. But it's unlucky. I guess that's the thing as well. Sometimes it can go your way, sometimes it might not.
Yeah, exactly. Like people spend, £170 on a Monk adapter? And you think, oh yeah, it's going to be best at best, but you still get your issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
And stuff like that.
So, obviously there's been a lot of announcement of upcoming events. Obviously you've got the Bunker, you got Anarchy. Is there any particular that you're going to be going to, or...?
I'm coming to the D23 one, November 3rd. Yep. We'll be there. Can't speak at all, Ring 2 teams.
Yes, beautiful.
The Anarchy one, speak at all, will be there as well.
Good. That's 3v3 format, right? Anarchy one. That's good.
It's more of a fun comp. Really nice to play on, actually, because it's got a basketball floor.
All right, so sliding's quite good on it. Yeah,
so start sliding, you're not stopping.
beautiful. It's kind of like the, from what they've seen in the videos, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of like the sort of speed QB kind of style in the Anarchy ones, is that right?
Yeah. I don't know if I was meant to, but I ran up a bunker and got a shot.
Did you?
But no one said anything to me, so...
Hey. If the refs don't say anything, I suppose it's fine.
Exactly.
So obviously, we'll talk about Luke Curtin from the Bunker team. He's obviously put out a lot of information about the next upcoming events. He's going to be running like a couple events tied into one. And he's spoke a little bit about the prize part. Have you seen that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I have.
What do you think to obviously the prize pot kind of stuff, and what's your thoughts on the league?
I think it's going to be really good, and I think this is what's going to build the UK scene a lot more and get a lot of European teams coming to England.
I guess so.
It's going to be difficult because obviously all the teams are going to be trying their best now to get that prize pot.
Like I say, I can't remember the exact number. Don't quote me on it, but it was something like 18 grand across whoever wins the full league or something like that, was it? Or 12? I can't remember the exact number.
I don't think it was that much. I think it were about 8 grand they put up on Insta. We're an 8K. Yeah, I'm reading it now. The league will have 2 separate divisions with prize pots for each division. And if I can pull it off correctly, don't be surprised if we see a combined prize pot at the end of the league in excess of 8K cash to be split between Division 1 and 2.
That is a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot of money, but it might be getting upped. Don't know how much tough. But...
Yeah, as I say, obviously, I can imagine with the new league announced, we'll see some sponsors as well. So obviously that'll help out massively because sponsors are a big push for these leagues and stuff like that. So
I know Airsoft Essentials is sponsoring.
Nice.
Yeah, it's D23 now, so.
Beautiful. I'm sure we'll get Airsoft Essentials on here at some point to hopefully run through a podcast. Let's talk about it. What would you do with, say, 8K? What would you do? What would your team do with it?
The team would split it each. I don't know. Kane said if we won all that, that's fucking probably get us on Villa and take us all on holiday.
Nothing wrong with that. Treat yourself to a hard-earned victory, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But more than likely, it will get split between all of us.
Nice.
But obviously, it's team one, team two. Obviously, if team one wins that prize pot, team one's keeping that prize pot.
Yeah.
It's not getting split between the whole team.
What are you thinking? A new build or something if you win?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
For win it, why not? New build, new mask, new loadout.
Why not? Treat yourself.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
What would you say your biggest event that you've participated in so far has been?
Probably D23 is the biggest event I've been to so far.
D23 five man?
Yeah.
I say the next one coming up is probably going to be one of the biggest ones for a lot of people,
yes.
Because obviously you've got Astro in now. So a lot of people in the UK haven't even like been on Astro yet, so it's going to be a massive difference.
Mine and your first time, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was the first time ever touching playing on AstroTurf the other week, and it's the difference is mad. Obviously,
yeah.
I hated having hard pads. They'd always leave like marks on the back of my legs and everything, and it was horrible.
Yeah, it wasn't very nice to wear.
It was horrible. So, yeah, having it. Yeah, yeah. Having, obviously, the softer ground, obviously, you can ditch the hard pads, and also he wets the AstroTurf as well, doesn't he? So, obviously, you can slide for ages, really. So, it's going to make a massive difference. I think he said, is it 13 teams that are going to, 12 or 13 teams or something like that, is already signed up. So, that's already locked in. So that's going to be decent. Well, who do you think is going to be there? The regulars? Any newbies? Any new teams?
Reapers, Speed Reapers.
Yep.
Speed Cartel, obviously, will be there. SFT is going to be there. Legion will 100% be there. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. Exactly.
Just the regulars, yeah. ECS, BPR, SOT, Speed Cartel, Reapers.
I feel like we might see one or two new teams. Like, I don't know if you have, but other than SWAT, I don't think I've seen MCR Swarm at a bunker comp yet. Is that right?
MCR are coming.
I can imagine they're coming now, especially, obviously, they'll be showing off. I can imagine they'll be showing off the new jerseys for sure. If they're there. But yeah, I feel like we might see one or two new teams, which is always good. Obviously, that's one thing that's going to help grow the scene is seeing new teams pop up.
Don't quote me on it, but I'm sure I've heard Curtin speaking about there might be a European team coming to this one.
Ah, that should be interesting then.
Yeah, but if not, they'll definitely be there next year.
Yeah, I can imagine. What would you, in your opinion, like how have events changed since your first ever event that you went to? To now, obviously, the upcoming event in the 3rd of November.
The first ever event I played or I ever watched?
Do either.
Yeah, so I don't know from what I watched. The first ever event I played, I mean watched, was obviously D23. I went and watched Flashbang play. I don't know, really. I feel like D23 has just progressed massively. It's just got better and better and better and better. Even when I've got up to training slots, I just block in and think, yeah, this is better.
Yeah, I completely agree. It
gets better every time you visit it.
The work they put in is constant. They're working late nights, till God knows whatever time to get the stuff done. And it shows massively. I mean, look at, from personal experience, one of my first comps was the original, like the bunker outdoors. And obviously, that's honestly like a paintball field with the inflatable bunkers. And to look at it now, to what it is now, where it's indoors, you know, you got hard cover, you got a spectator area, you got proper pits, you've got live streams. I mean, back when I first started competing, there wasn't even live streams, like you couldn't watch it. But now, obviously, he covers the whole entire tournament on stream. And I believe now he's even up in the production line and that. He's got, obviously, cameraman on the field. He's got, I think it was like eight or something cameras recording the live stream.
I think for this next comp, he's got 16 cameras installed.
Oh, God, that is a lot of cameras.
The new spectator area is getting installed, which we saw at training. Don't know if you saw it. The bridge above the dent tunnels where the compressor is.
Oh, is it getting a bit around there? Is it?
Yeah,
I didn't know that. That's gonna be good. A different perspective of the field. So, where do you see Speedsoft going? Do you think it's going to grow in popularity? Do you think you'll see more teams popping up?
I want it to grow because I don't want Speedsoft to stop in the UK. I don't want to travel all the way to, I don't know, France or Netherlands or somewhere to go play. I want it to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I agree. I want
it to be like it is over there.
Yeah. And I honestly think like we are heading in that direction. I feel like you said, like we keep saying, I think we will see EU teams coming over. And I think, you know, it's just going to grow massively. I mean, you've got live coverage and everything, really. So I can't see why not. Yeah. And I do think we'll start seeing more people coming over to Speedsoft. I think we'll see like younger generations start. I mean, I don't know about you, but obviously back when I was obviously like, what, 13, 14, all that, I was just constantly on the console, you know, playing Call of Duty and whatnot. Now you can actually pretty much do that competitively with an actual real, you know, real like toy gun is what you want to call it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good. What changes would you like to see in a sport?
Oof. I don't know, that's a tough question. Changes to D23. The only thing I'd change about D23, it is a lot of teams and it would drag throughout the day that had gone for long, is the brackets.
The brackets.
I think every team should verse each other.
Yeah, I mean, yes, yeah,
so
obviously.
So then people can't complain, like, oh, you've put us in a hard bracket, of course we're going to lose, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so obviously for those that don't know, see, the way Luke does it is you've got Group A, Group B, randomly generated teams. It randomly picks them. And obviously, a Group A won't face someone in Group B unless it's in like the semis or finals or whatever, isn't it?
Yeah.
So obviously, the top, I think it's like top two teams of Group A, top two teams of Group B will go through and they'll face each other. But yeah, so say if you was like, I don't know, third or fourth in the bracket of Group A, you're not going to be playing teams in Group B. So yeah, I mean, I can see why you want that. Exactly like you say, it would obviously take up you know, a long time to face every team, but it'd be good if obviously
9 to 5.
Yeah, it'd be good if you could incorporate it in some way where obviously everybody like faces everybody, I suppose. Is there any rules or format should change?
The only format I'd really stick to is like the old one. Let me see if I can find it, because it is on the computer somewhere. The old format of the D23, the most thing I liked about that was the three back solid bunkers.
Was it the recent tournament?
Yeah.
Where it's like
three solid bunkers at the back.
Yeah.
That would have been a solid layout.
Yeah, it was a good layout, that, to be fair. I enjoyed that layout. Yeah.
I think that should stay, but obviously that's just my opinion on it.
Yeah, I think as my opinion, one thing that I would not necessarily change, but bring into it to increase, like, not popularity, but, you know, increase the viewers' experience, people that are watching it. I'd like to see some kind of, like, VAR, you know, like, say something happens in a tournament, there's like a power play or I don't know, a major or something like that, you could watch that back as a like little highlight on the stream that would show it what was actually going on. I think that'd be pretty cool. Or I think it'd be cool if, like, I don't know, there was like GoPros that everybody ran, like everybody had a GoPro on the gun or something, you know, that kind of perspective as well. I think it'd be very complicated how to do it, but I think that'd be pretty cool. Obviously, you see a lot of McSwain doing the POVs with his, you know, he ran a GoPro in his mask and stuff. I think that was really cool. And it definitely would be...
I spoke to him about that, actually. He said it were good. The angles were good. But he wouldn't do it again.
He wouldn't do it again. But I can imagine how uncomfortable that'd be.
Yeah, well, he said it was very uncomfortable, but he has said he has got something in the works like that for a mask. So you can have that angle.
Ah, okay.
With a camera.
Yeah, we'll have to keep a lookout for that. Obviously, I don't know if you've seen, but GoPro, they have just released their new line of GoPros, so the GoPro 13, and they've also released a GoPro Hero. And, like, it is literally the size of, you know, AirPods, like an AirPod case. It's, like, the size of that. So, I mean, that obviously the normal GoPros are quite big, whereas this one's quite small. So it might work a little bit better having it in your mask. I don't know. That'd be one for someone to experiment with.
Yeah.
But, we'll see what...
The only downside of carrying a GoPro is... It's another thing for to get hit on your body.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I see a lot of that actually with people that wear. Obviously, you can get the HK things for your mask, and a lot of people wear it on top. And obviously, if you're in like snake or something, that a lot of that actually does actually stick out, believe it or not.
Yeah, that will stick out while you are still like you think you're undercover, but your GoPro's not.
Yeah, exactly, and them hits count as well, so they want to watch out for as well.
Like me and you did that 1v1.
Yeah,
and you shot my GoPro, and I didn't know about it.
With the broken screen. Have you got that fixed? Have you got it fixed yet?
No, not yet.
No, not yet. What advice would you give to someone that is looking to start into speedsoft?
Honestly, just go on the field, try your best. If you lose or you do something stupid, don't worry yourself about it, because you'll just ruin your mood for the rest of the day. So if you go into a game, and I don't know, I did a stupid play at last E23 comp, we were versing Fast Gang, and it were me and Joe, another Speed Cartel player. We were at last ones arrive, holding it solidly. I got to Plexi, dived over to Castle. I should have stayed in Castle, but then me being greedy, I did a double jump and tried to get the flag, which got me killed. It wound me up. But if you keep thinking about it all day, it's just going to make you lose focus on your game and stuff like that. So as soon as that game's over and done with, just wipe it off your head. It's happened. Know what you can do about it. Go into the next round with a fresh head and do your best. Really. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing as well, is obviously... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing as well. You've got to obviously learn from your mistakes. You're bound to make mistakes at some point. So you've got to learn from them. So
don't call me out on this, but even Mick Swain made a mistake at the last comp. He tripped up while we were running.
Ah, yeah, yeah. I mean, hopefully...
Trips over.
Yeah, as I say, that concrete was a little bit bumpy in some places for sure, but obviously with the Astro, I can imagine it's just going to be so much smoother. How do you stay motivated to compete in these tournaments? Like, what gives you that motivation to go, oh yeah, I want to play this next tournament, I want to do my best, and I want to try and win it? What gets you up to do that?
I just want to get up there. Doing at best. I want my team to win. It's the main thing. I know it's all about going, having fun, stuff like that. Just enjoy playing with your mates, shooting plastic balls at other people.
Yeah.
Don't get angry over it. Don't start fighting. It's just a game at the end of the day. But the first place is always going to be my goal for Speed Cartel.
Yeah.
That's what motivates me. I just enjoy playing with my team. If you don't enjoy playing with your team, find a different team.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not in the right team if the chemistry is not there.
Yeah.
Completely agree with that. So, what's your predictions for the next comp? How well do you think you're going to do? Do you think you're going to maybe take the win?
Well, I am a Team 1 player, so I speak after that's Team 1, Team 2. But we've got two guests coming for us. I don't know if I'm allowed to say. I'm allowed to say one of them. I know that. We've got Woody from RNG.
Ah, yes, RNG. It's good to see. It's good that they've kind of stepped back a bit from the speed stuff scene. I've not seen them in much tournaments recently, so it's good to see them coming back.
Yeah, so Woody's guesting for us maybe next season as well. I'll keep the other guest as a surprise. I'm not allowed to say that.
Ah, well, stay tuned for that.
Team 1 has got enough players, but for them to guest, I volunteer myself, basically, to go over to Team 2 to balance the teams out. Make it fair for each team. So, Team 1, hopefully. We're hoping. We've done it before. We've bet TSR before. No hate against TSR. Lovely lads.
Absolutely, yeah. Great lads.
Yeah. We've bet them before. Might be able to do it again, but again, it were only a 3-man. A much bigger, better, stronger team when they've got all the 5 players. But we're hoping for podium, at least.
Yeah.
If not second, then third.
Beautiful.
For team one, I don't know about team two. I don't know yet.
Okay, I'll have to keep my eyes on that. It's definitely going to be a good watch. And for those that obviously, you know, like to watch this kind of stuff, it is all streamed on YouTube as well. The whole event is streamed on YouTube. Luke Curtin, I'll leave the link and that in the description below so you can go watch that when it is live. And that is on the 3rd of November, is that right? 3rd of November?
The stream should start about 9 a.m.
Yeah, I think it's about 9 or 10 o'clock. The stream will be live at some point between them. So what are your predictions then for the winner of the league for next year? Have you got any predictions? Who do you think is going to take that?
Depends who comes. If it's just a standard England team, then obviously it's going to be Legion, isn't it?
Yeah, I can say Legion. Are an unreal team, and it shows, yeah. You know, obviously they've got great players that have been in the scene for majority of, you know, the last 5 years at least. So obviously they've got the experience, which obviously makes a massive difference.
Yeah, it's like they've got Kyle, aren't they? He was like one of the best paintball players in UK. That guy is insane. Like, he can just walk, they don't even turn up to like training sessions or anything like that to look at the new layout. Kyle literally just walks on the field, looks around and goes, right, yeah, okay. And he's got all the lanes and all the blind spots in his head. It's like, it's insane how they do it.
That's the thing as well. Like, yeah, literally, it's all, in the end of the day, it is experience as well, isn't it? Because obviously, he knows exactly what to look for when he gets on a field. He knows where to look and all that kind of stuff. And he just, in his brain, it's wired in there, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll throw
I don't know. They are beatable. Every team's beatable.
Yeah, exactly. Every team, like, is beatable.
They could turn up to one game and be like, oh, our Reds are not in it. Like, for example, ECS won a round against them. No one expected that.
Yeah, exactly.
It all depends what mood that team is in that day. But if there's a, I don't know, 10, 15 grand cash prize pot for grabs, Legion are going to be on the best performance.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'll ask this one then. What team, name your top three teams in the UK right now. So the best top three teams in the UK. What are you going for?
Go with Legion first, OB second, third, TSR, I'm saying.
Okay, it is a good one. Obviously, TSR, OB, yeah, TSR, OB and Legion, they've all played over the seas as well. So they've been in...
NSL last year?
I think it was Challenger. I think it was Challengers 2 that OB won. They didn't have much luck in Challengers 3, I think. I think there was it was a dramatic ending, to be fair. It was some kind of major in the semis or something like that. And it was quite devastating. I remember watching that live. Obviously, everyone in the UK was, you know, back in TSR and OB. And yeah, it was quite a sad ending for OB, which is a shame. But yeah, like Legion, they've played in NSL like years ago. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. But I'll throw my top three out there. I think it'd be pretty much the same as what you said. One game that I really want to see, and I hope it happens soon, is OB versus Legion. I want to see who wins that game. Because I feel like that is an entertaining game right there. I'm not going to lie.
Strong game.
I mean, I can remember at the bunker watching TSR and Legion, obviously both top teams in the UK right now, and them going at it, it was amazing to watch. It was back and forth. so it'd be great to see, obviously, OB in the works as well, see who takes the win.
100%.
I'll throw another one. Top. Who would you say the best player in the UK is right now?
Don't know how to pronounce his name properly, but it's got a bit. Is it Shape Chappie?
Kyle Chappie from Legion. Yeah, he's like you mentioned. He's a great player. He's been in the scene for so long. He originally started in paintball, I believe, and he was pretty much on the verge, if not pro paintball player. Which obviously
he was a pro player.
Yeah, which obviously is massive. You know, that's almost, I'm not sure exactly how the paintball structure works, but I'm pretty sure that's almost on the verge of being like a full-time paid paintballer or something like that.
It was classed as one of the best UK paintball players.
Yeah, at one point. which obviously is amazing. And obviously a lot of it transfers over to Speedsoft. It is somewhat similar in a way.
So I want Mike to verse in my bags.
Oh yeah, absolutely not. So you're going with Chappie, yeah?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. He's a great player.
He is.
Oh, I think I've covered most of the things that I wanted to ask you. Is there anything that you would want to say to anybody watching?
No, not really, but if you want to come and give Speedsoft a try, Speed Arena, D23, there's always open training sessions there. Speed Arena's Saturday and Sunday, pickups open. So also on Wednesday as well, there's pickups and opens. You can just rock up £20 for 11 till 5, sometimes 6. Depends what mood Sal's in.
Yeah.
But honestly, if you want to give it a try, you don't have to have the gear. We're all friendly enough. If, I don't know, someone will have a spare gun. So if you rock up with a gas gun, that's going to be no good. You're going to get absolutely demolished on that field. But you can just turn up with a standard ARP electric gun. Do it. If you like it, get into it.
Yeah.
Any team wanting to try, but you're too scared to come and compete, honestly, to show up. Like VPR, they've never competed in their life. All they do is train. They've never competed. They showed up to the last comp. They got third place.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It was unreal.
It was a good performance. They worked hard. That's what it is. They trained. And then when it came to the tournament, they showed up, did everything right, and then they got the third place. So it just goes to show if you work hard enough, you can achieve anything, really.
Exactly. Training pays off.
Yeah, 100% agree. And it's great that we've got the facilities now, obviously, to do that indoor Speedsoft. Obviously, you got, like you mentioned, you got the bunker and you've got Speed Arena now, two other main ones. I don't know if there's going to be any more. Maybe we'll see some more in the future. But they're the main two, and they're just great venues. I'll leave all the links to the bunker and Speed Arena down in the description as well. So go drop them a follow, drop them a message as well if you want to turn up to any of the open trainings or anything like that.
Speed Cartel are always at the Speed Arena as well, most of the time. So honestly, if you want to turn up and come, do it. You're more than welcome to come and play with us.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I'll ask you, where can everybody find you, your personal account, and your team account on Instagram?
Instagram, my personal is sc.baldeagle_21. And the team Insta is literally, it's just Speed Cartel.
Yeah, I'll leave all the links down below as well, so you can follow all them. But I've just got to say, I appreciate you coming on to the podcast today. And it's been a great podcast. And I'll end it there. I hope I'll see everybody in the next podcast.